2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. That all scripture is given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine. That's the right way to handle the Bible. For explanation. Doctrine, didaskalia. 2 Timothy 3, 16. So the Bible, when I handle my Bible, sis, when I handle my Bible, I'm meant to explain from it. You get what I'm saying? I am meant to explain. The Bible was not given just to be quoted. I recall when we were much younger, I could quote almost 250 Bible verses. And I mean, at the age of 10, almost 250. We even though I might not know the application or whatever, I was winning quiz. I was winning quiz. I have one jog, one different thing, one shirt. But the Bible was not written for that. The fact that someone can quote the Bible does not mean it's rightly divided. Rightly dividing means I know the reality of the word and I'm going to bring it out. Is it making sense? And so, words are precious. Jesus left us with words, not his picture. We don't have a picture of the Lord. Jesus left us with words. These words I say unto you. We don't have a picture of the Lord. We don't have a statue of the Lord. We don't even know how he looks like. Except you're seeing him by divinely granted appearance. What we have is his word. His word. And so, words are too important. For example, when you look at the word like baptism. Again, we're talking about two kinds of baptism. When we look at a word like baptism. Many times when you say baptism, the first thing that comes to people's head is water. And you just need to think a bit further. Then you know the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then the baptism of the Spirit. But why did you think about water first? That's the danger of a newbie to Bible study. It means you are new. You are a unit. Because there's no one word in the Bible that means the same thing everywhere. I've heard people say, agape means the love of God. That will not be true. That will not be true. Because when Jesus said, sinners also love sinners, the word there of that love is agape. That is, those who are matano, they are agape, those who are matano, agape. When he says Zoe is the life of God, Zoe does not mean the life of God. Zoe just means life. How about that? And so, there won't be a word that cuts across for every word. For example, when I say faith, it just entered. When I say faith, I can't just mean mountain moving faith. And every faith I'm saying is mountain moving faith, mountain moving faith. When it says, we don't have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with the respect of persons, James 2:1. That cannot be, we don't move mountains. We don't have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't move mountains of our Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't make sense, right? Come on, does that make sense? And so, you have to look at faith. What is it saying about faith? It says every love is the love of God. Agape. Proto agapao. He loved us first. You have to look at words in their context. I've told you many times that dictionaries don't tell you the meaning of words. No dictionary will tell you that this is what a word means. What dictionaries will tell you are the probable meanings. That is, it can mean this. It could mean this. And so words will now be seen rightly in the context. The surrounding words is what will give it life. Is it making sense? Alright, so, for example, someone said, I don't think I've said this before, but I've not said it before. I heard someone say, and I saw it in our teaching for the Prophet Series 4, we're going to see that God does not operate. That God does not operate. He operates not. Anyways, he's in James 1:5, when my last wisdom, let him ask from God who gives to all men liberally and operates not. And that's cool. If you look at Mark 16, you'll find that in verse 14, the Bible says Jesus upbraided them for their unbelief. Now, it remains how you are going to cover that up. Hallelujah. And that's the danger of picking one word and saying it will cut across every other thing. Jesus actually upbraided them from their unbelief. What does upbraid mean? It means to find fault. And so, in the context of James 1:5, God will not upbraid, right? He will not find fault with you asking. Or he will not be looking at your past to look at your prayers. Is it making sense? But in the context of unbelief, what should the Lord do? He should actually find fault with unbelief. Is it making sense what you said now? Eh? And so, he actually found fault with their unbelief, Mark 16. Bible says, he upbraided them for their unbelief because they believed not. He had risen from the dead. He had shown them many signs and wonders, like John said in John 21, verse 20. He has proved himself. Or he has proven himself, and yet they still were doubting. He now upbraided him. He found fault with that. And so, God can find fault about that. But you must now put it in context with unbelief. And so, no one word will cut across every other word. That's what I'm saying. And so, the duty lies with a diligent minister of the gospel to rightly divide. He must know when this is talking about what. For example, when oftentimes when you hear people say baptism, they don't want to hear any other thing. They say water. But there are two kinds of baptism. And that's what this teaching will be about. Two kinds of baptism. Hallelujah. Two kinds of baptism. Look at 1 Peter, which will be our cornerstone teaching. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3. Hallelujah. But let me verse 18. We read from verse 18 to verse 21. Everybody, want to go? For Christ has also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prisons, which were sometimes disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto evil unto baptism, thus saves us now. Not the putting away of the feet of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus. And so, Peter points us to two kinds of baptism. He says, one will be putting away the feet of the flesh, and one will be in the heart. One will be all about the flesh. When he says flesh, flesh means your body. And the other will walk on the earth. Is an answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I recall a particular brother, he used this, 2017. And he said, verse 20, that 8 souls were saved by water. And he said, that means water baptism or baptism by water is for salvation. And that's funny, because what he just did was to use the word saved again carelessly. He just took the word saved, and it meant that anything time he just is saved, it means Christ saved you. When he says 8 souls were saved by the water, what saved them? The ark, right? The ark. He didn't say they were saved from the judgment of hell. They were saved by water from the flood. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? And so, we have two kinds of baptism. I know you already know the two kinds. Because you guys are prophets. But, let's just examine. So let me look at my notes. Again, for something to be a doctrine in any local assembly, it must pass the litmus of doctrine. There's a litmus test for you to have doctrine. Who can remind me of that? For something to be called doctrine, you must find it in Genesis, in its seed form. You must find it in the writings of Moses, in the books of Moses, in its types and shadows. That's when you have the word temple, the tabernacle, the manna. You must find it in types and shadows. In the sacred Psalms of David, you must find it there. You must also find it in the prophecies of the prophets. The prophet must say it. Hallelujah. You know, we said that there's nothing. Well, if you look at it, was it Daniel prophet series 2? Where we looked at the life and ministry of Jesus, Abby? From birth to death. From birth to resurrection. To ascension. And we're looking at it from the Old Testament, Abby? One by one. The prophet must have spoken about it. Then you must find it in the four gospels. You must find it in the book of Acts as an act and practice of the church. You must also find it in the epistles as an explanation of what we have by the Spirit. And so, we need to look at water baptism. And see if it will beat all these tests. Is a man, now these are questions that we want to probe. Again, we're looking at two kinds of baptism. Is a man saved because he is immersed into water? We answer that as we journey through this teaching. Does being immersed into water, when a man is immersed into water, does he show his faith?
Can a man be immersed into water and not be born again?
Those are questions. Which other question did you should probe?
Is it compulsory for a man to be immersed in water? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Why the sudden silence? The thunderous silence. Praise God. Alright. So, let's look at something.
The word baptism is the word baptizo. B-A-P-T-I-Z-O. B-A-P-T-I-Z-O.
Let's look at the word baptize. The word baptize is used 81 times. 81 times. Out of the 81 times, 90%, that's about 70 something, right? Right? 90% referred to just John. Of course, John the Baptist. 90% of the time referred to just John. In fact, when he's not even talking about him, he's also mentioned. Even when he's not talking about him. But let's leave it. Baptized, 81 times. In the four Gospels, the word baptized is used 48 times. 48 times. In the book of Acts, well, all we're just doing today is to lay foundation. Pick it up next week. In the book of Acts, 21 times. In Romans, just 2 times. That's Romans 6. 2 times. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 6 times. And that's the highest. 1 Corinthians, not chapter 1. 1 Corinthians generally, 6 times. You find it in 1 Corinthians 10 to when Moses said they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. Abi? Moses, our fathers, their fathers. Hallelujah. You find in Galatians 1, Galatians 3:27. Alright. Okay. Again, the word baptism now. The one who was the one that was baptized, right? 81 times. The word baptism was used 21 times. 21 times from Matthew to Revelation, New Testament Greek. In the four Gospels, it was used 12 times. That's over half already. 12 times. In the book of Acts, 6 times. So that means in the epistle, it would be how many times? 3, right? Okay. Was it in the Old Testament? Let's just quickly look at that. Again, what we call baptism, or what many have called baptism, this teaching will be more of an apologetic, that is to defend something. What many people call for baptism, which it will be to show that you actually believe in the death of Jesus, right? I am water baptized. Let me give this disclaimer again in 2017. What's the disclaimer again? I'm not really concerned about what you do with water and your body. I'm not really concerned. But I'm concerned about one thing. When you start linking it to the scriptures, you can, for heaven's sake, you can go and swim. I say, I'm baptized. I believe in the death. Backstroke. I believe in the resurrection. And you do fish stroke. And you do diving. I say, I believe he was buried. I say, ooh, you rose on the dead. In a truck. Remember? Well, I'm not concerned about what you do with the water in your body or whatever goes on between you and the pool. But the moment you now start saying, you start agitating people because of not being immersed in water, something is wrong. But well, let me form an opinion already. Let's look at the scriptures. Again, in the Old Testament, you find it in Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13 to 15, chapter 13 to 15. And basically what you find there, that we can even infer to baptism at all, would be women who were just giving birth and were being washed. Is it making sense? Which is normal. Which is normal. You can't just give birth and you allow the blood and everything to stay. Right? Come on. Right? So it's used for ceremonial cleansing. Also for lepers. Leviticus 13 to 15. We find it used for lepers. Those who had issues with their skin, their body. And so they were washed. They were cleansed. This is ceremonial cleansing. So that's not baptism. Look at another place where people attention might be pointed to is Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. Again, we are laying foundations. Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16 verse 9. Then wash I you with water. Yes, I truly washed away your blood from you and I anointed you with oil. I washed you with water. And will this be figurative or literal? It's not far-fetched. Just look at Ezekiel 36. I washed you with water and I anointed your head with oil. Ezekiel 36 now says, verse 25. Again, can you answer that Bible study is not what you rush to do. You actually have to take your time. You have to be patient. The patience of the surgeon.
don't forget. Ezekiel 36:25. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Again, can my sprinkling of physical water upon you cleanse you from your idols? Eh? And so, let's look at it further. Verse 26 now says, a new heart will I give unto you. So that's what the cleaning of water will mean. A new heart will I give unto you, and a new spirit. Ezekiel 36:26. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you another flesh. Verse 27. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment, and you shall do them. Again, where was he going to cleanse them? Eh? Eh? In your heart. What will do the cleansing? The spirit. And so, water will not be symbolic of what? The spirit. Does that make sense? So Ezekiel's water will be actually be symbolic of the spirit. Another place you will see it, and where it might look very close, like baptism is, 2 Kings 5. Naaman and Elisha. Go and wash yourself. Not too good an example. Because he baptized himself 7 times. Go and wash yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. And of course, Naaman, the general, also went there. But we can look at that baptism. Eh? Can look at that baptism. Well, I mean baptism. Okay, so outside this, we will not find any other place in the Old Testament. So water baptism is not an Old Testament practice. It's not an Old Testament practice. So it's Old Testament in the name to preach grace. Water baptism is Old Testament. You are even wrong. Some grace preachers are grace preachers. Hallelujah. Just preach grace. From grace to grace. All in the name. Everything is Old Testament. Have you seen people push things in the Old Testament before? That's Old Testament! Because you believe that we never study that one. Yeah. What did you say? That's Old Testament. That's the we are in the new. We are under grace. Like it cannot be. We are under grace. That's Old Testament. Old Testament. So which one is the new? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, water baptism is not an Old Testament practice. Actually, it started with John. Initiated by John. So he's the only one that can bail us out. Naaman's case was for healing. So, that definitely does not pass the test for baptism. Again, we call him John the Baptist. But I don't think you would like to be called John the Baptist. Jesus never referred to him as John the Baptist. Jesus called him a prophet. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus called him a prophet. He himself did not call himself John the Baptist. He had prophets prophesy about him. And nobody even mentioned water. Let's say it again. John, one he called the Baptist, he had people prophesy about him from the Old Testament. You find that in Malachi. You find that in Isaiah. They prophesied about him. And yet, nobody mentioned water. And so, it's not John the Baptist. It's actually John the prophet. Okay? If you look at the prophets about him, nobody ever mentioned water. Nobody ever mentioned baptism or whatever. Okay. Again, what was the ministry of John? In Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3. Learning something? Matthew chapter 3. Verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And saying, repent you for the kingdom of God is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare you the way for what? For the Lord. And makes his path straight. And so, John's ministry was what? Prepare the way for Jesus. I think that's obvious as ABC in Christianity. It was to prepare the way for the Lord. In verse 4, that says, the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust with wild honey. Very, 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 very weird guy. And he was eating locust. Locust is an insect, right? He was eating locust with honey. Okay. Then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea and all the region all about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, what? Confessing their sins. They were baptized of him. So many people now went out to him. He was not staying in town. He went out into the wilderness. When you see wilderness in the Bible, it means where people are not. It doesn't mean a dry land. It doesn't mean a forest. It just means where people are not, where you can't find people, you scarcely find people. So when he said Jesus was led to the wilderness, you must know what it means now. Alright, so he said people went out to him and they were baptized, confessing their sins. In verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees came to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to yourself within yourself, say, we are Abraham our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree that bring not fruit, good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Did Jesus say this thing? Eh? In John 15. Eh? We'll see that much more later. In verse 11, verse 11 together, Matthew 3, 11. Let's everybody read that together. Once you go, this is John talking to you. The one whose mention of baptism is 90%. The one who started it. Hallelujah. What is he saying about you? Once you go, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoe I'm not worthy to what to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. And so, John says, I'm baptizing you with water unto repentance. Repentance is the word metanoia. It means to change your mind. M-E-T-A-N-O-I-A. M-E-T-A-N-O-I-A. Metanoia. It means to change your mind. The word meta is change. Nous is mind. Right? Metamorphosis. Right? A changing morphos. Body. I think it just makes sense. Morphology is body, right? This Greek word are just very simple. Ta means to change. If I data analysis, don't say metadata. You know, the metadata means I'm changing my data. No. You know, if you understand what I mean. Or meta description. Alright. Meta is to change. Nous is mind. So, metanoia, metanous is actually repentance. It means to change your mind. And so, what John was doing with water, listen very well. What John was doing with water is not the end. It's a means to something. Who gets that? He is doing it so that they can change their mind. Change their mind concerning the one who he is preparing the way for. Is it making sense? And so, he already stated his ministry that my ministry is to prepare the way for the Messiah. My ministry is to prepare the way for Christ. How would I prepare the way? I would use water to put your mind to him. And so, as he's putting water on them and he's bearing them in water, or whatever he's doing with the water, he will be telling them about that person to come. And so he's saying, see, after he was now done baptizing all of them, he said, see, I have something to tell you. I indeed baptize you with water. It's true, it's true. But there's one coming after me. He is mightier than I. What will he do? He will baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost. And so, you have two tents. And you have to pitch your tent wisely. We have one who baptizes with water unto repentance. And we have a person who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Jesus also said this same statement in Acts chapter 1 verse 5. Let's look at that. Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts. Bible. Don't forget, you have to be eager to show yourself approved. When it comes to doctrine, listen very well, when it comes to doctrinal matters, your emotional bias or what you are taught as a child in Bible study, from Bible study group, or book of my Bible story, we don't need it. Many of us were taught different things. They actually negate the scriptures. Hallelujah. I recall one of the fellowships we did when I was younger. And the man painted God, that God was with armor. A comic, that God was with armor. As one boy was just stealing from his mommy's purse, that God now sent one angel and the angel armored him. The next page, he had a headache. I mean, we were taught that as a child. That when you do something, God will armor you. And so, at the point, I wanted to steal one money to go and pay PS. As I was saying, I said, I'm expecting the armor. And I know that, it's not just armor, headache. Even I did not see, there was headache. So let me just, no, but Imagine a child that grew up with that. Some of you did what I did. Let's just cover it. Not peers. Your home might be something else. Family, you have been righteous from your youth. Lebo! Alright, Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Want to go? Let's read together, want to go? Now Jesus talking, is in red letters, want to go? For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, John baptized with water. But this is what I will do for you. You'll be baptized with the Spirit. You'll be baptized with the Spirit. So, two kinds of baptism. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Jesus now goes to the same John and gets baptized. Yeah, Jesus got baptized in Matthew 3. And go back there now. In verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan and said unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to baptize you, and come down to me. I have need to be baptized of you. That is, John was telling Jesus, listen very well. This is a very intelligent place. Once you can get this, I think there's no argument. John is the one baptizing people, right? With what? Holy Ghost? Water. What did he tell them? Someone is coming. Who is greater than me? What will he use to baptize you? Water? Wine? The Holy Ghost. And so that same person that he said is mightier than him now comes. Then says, baptize me. Then John says, I am the one that ought to be baptized by you. Is it making sense? If John says, I'm the one that ought to be baptized by you, what's John saying? That he needs what? The baptism of what? Of the Spirit. Is it making sense? Then Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so for now. That is, let it be so for now. Why? For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Then he suffered him means then John now baptized him. He allowed that. Why would you say it ought to be so to fulfill all righteousness? All righteousness just means to fulfill the scriptures. What is the scripture? The scripture is that John would actually prepare the way. Prepare the way means he would be the one to validate the ministry of Jesus. And that's what he did. Are you listening to me this evening? John's ministry was actually to prepare the way for the Christ. And one of the ways he was going to do that is actually he was going to have an open validation for the Messiah. And so by baptizing him, listen very well, by baptizing him, and what happened thereafter, John authenticated that Jesus was the Christ. Look at what happened. And when he suffered him to be so, verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, unto John, actually. When he said the heavens were open, he didn't mean the cloud was open. We've explained that the spirit of sin and knowing, what does that change? Best of both worlds. Best of both worlds. Best of both worlds and spirit of sin and knowing. Okay, so the heavens were opened unto John. When you say heavens are open, it actually talks about a supernatural occurrence. It's not literal, it's not like the clouds now parted, no. When you see a vision, for example, you can say the heavens opened unto him. It makes sense? Huh? Uh-huh. Stephen, the heavens opened unto Stephen, and yet they were still stoning him. So the heavens opened would be supernaturally granted appearance and sight. So the heavens were opened unto John, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Again, the Spirit of God is not a dove. In a vision, you can sometimes, because of your knowledge base, because of your theological background, your vision, listen very well, your vision can be colored in your knowledge. For example, if you do not know much about the things of the Spirit, the visions you have might be tainted a bit. And that's why the Word of God is a pure test for visions. What's that teaching? How to handle visions, right? How to handle visions and revelations. And so the Word of God is pure test. For example, Peter was going to have a vision in Acts chapter 10, and because he was hungry, not just hungry, he had a tainted view of the Gentile nation, how that they were not to be saved, they were just cast away and all. And so because of that, he saw them as beasts. Paul, when Paul was going to have the same vision, the Bible says, Paul saw a man of Macedonia, a Gentile, the same Gentile, Acts 16. Paul saw a man of Macedonia crying and say, come to us. That was the same thing that Peter saw. But in Peter's vision, it was now a beast. Beast. Of course, unclean beast for that matter, because of the way he had seen them. And so visions can take the shape of your theology. That makes sense? That makes sense? Oftentimes you see people say, I saw a vision, I saw a snake. The same, another person who is more spiritually matured will have seen a vision and just, probably is just talking to someone. But you were seeing, you saw like 10 snakes fighting each other and fighting for belts, Survivor Series. WWE, you are doing, giving, and after, as you are seeing, the lion just came, begum, begum, begum. I say, yeah, that's not the lion of Judah. The same, the snake of the serpent, serpent in the garden. Say, hey, hey, they not saw a dove. You know, say, oh, Holy Spirit, who came? This is not him. This is not him. Imagine more, lion of Judah, the serpent. So I was talking like, you saw water from the throne. It's basically your theology. Someone else would have just seen that and say, wow, God wants us to go and preach or something. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm saying. And so, John saying a dove does not mean that the Spirit of God is a dove. His sight of a dove is a reflection of his knowledge. And he's not the only one. Every prophet actually had such imageries, as it were. Such imageries. Learning something? Alright. So, it's not the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon it. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's an open validation. That's why he just says, let us fulfill all righteousness. Let us fulfill what the prophet said. That you are actually going to prepare the way. And one of the ways you are going to do that is by openly validating my ministry and saying, this is the beloved son. When he said a voice came from heaven and said, it's John that will say it. Right? Come on. Who is it? It's John now. You thought they heard the voice from cloud? In Acts 13. When the Holy Ghost says, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, who said it? Eh? Bible says, in verse 1, prophets, teachers were gathered, right? Come on, they were gathered in Acts 13:1. But in verse 2, and the Holy Ghost spoke. Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. And then the church now laid their hands and sent them up. The church laid their hands on them and sent them up. And Bible says, being sent up by the Holy Ghost. And who sent them up? The elders of the church. And so, when people walk in the Spirit, sometimes you can attribute what they did to the Spirit of God. Is it making sense? And so, when it says the Holy Ghost and heaven, the voice came from heaven, that voice is John's voice. For example, in the Holy Ghost meeting, you know, before you can turn and then you minister to one another, and when you want to tell someone at home what happened, you actually can say, God said to me today. And meanwhile, it was Sister Dawn. Right? And you can say, God said to me. Why? Because you believe that when we come together as a function of our will, we actually can bring the will of God right from our lips onto another, one to another. Does that make sense? Huh? And so when it says the voice came from heaven, that's John's voice. And say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And say, that's an open validation from John to the ministry of Jesus. And that's why Jesus was baptized. Did Jesus himself baptize anybody? No. We look at that much more. Did his disciples baptize? Very over. Even when he was risen from the dead, what to continue? We will see why. The Paul baptized people, we will see. Hallelujah. That's a thunderous silence. Hallelujah. So it says, it becomes of us. Again, we can look at it in two ways. Jesus was endorsed by John, right? But also, John was also endorsed by Jesus. Because if Jesus did not come to be baptized of him, then he was never the forerunner. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Because Jesus is the greater. Alright. So to fulfill all righteousness would be to fulfill the words of the prophet. Okay? Again, before the baptism at all, John already told everybody in John 1:29. He said, this is the Lamb of God. John 1:29, you can turn your Bible there. This is the Lamb of God that takes away what? The sins of the world. Look at John 1:29. Look at it. I want to read. It says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Can we verse 31 together? And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing. Verse 32. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. Verse 34. And I saw and bear record that what? This is the Son of God. Hallelujah. So, John was clear between him and Jesus. He was very clear. He already said, he will increase, I will what? I will decrease. He already said that. And so, why are we saying all these ones? John is the one that initiated baptism. Again, we have seen that there was no baptism in the Old Testament. And so the next place to look at is the four Gospels. Right? And the four Gospels opens up with Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John. Come on, right? Come on, come on. You know Jesus, you know, John is the cousin of Jesus. Maybe you know that one. The cousin. Those of you that disrespect your cousins. Says Abru. Jesus was Abru to John. Something like that. I said, Abru. God is your cousin. You don't know if that is John and it's Jesus. Baptist. Alright, so again, did Jesus ask anybody to baptize with water? Eh? Matthew 28, when he was going to give the great commandment, Matthew 28 verse 18, he said, all power is given to me. Jesus came and spoke unto him, said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Turn the Bible to Matthew 28, 18, please. Matthew 28, 18, can we read together? Eh? And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying what? All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, baptizing them in the what? Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teach you there to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Even at the end of the world. Now, that verse 19 is quite critical. Now, one thing to first note is that we have four accounts of this gospel. That is four accounts of what Jesus said. We have the Matthew account. We have the Luke account. We have the Mark account. Then we have the John account. Right? Come on, right? Is that right? Two out of them are eyewitness accounts. Two are not eyewitnesses. Who are the eyewitnesses, please? Matthew and John. Matthew and John were eyewitnesses. Luke was Paul's disciple. Mark was not even part of the 12. Hallelujah. And so, that is balanced. In case you say, they are disciples, they are trying to cover up, they are just trying to write things that he did. No, at all. Luke and Mark were not part of the 12. They were people like just you and me, that chose to actually write about the event based on what they heard people say and thought. That makes sense? Now, we have four accounts of the same statement that Jesus made. Matthew said, he told them, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Then you will go and teach all nations, which is to make disciples, right? Right? So, what did he say you will actually do? To make disciples of all nations, right? But baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's the only place in the Bible where you find that mentioned. I'll say it again. From Genesis to Revelation, Matthew 28:19 is the only place where you find the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so, a single mention, again, puts it on his toes, as being liable to be a fault of a writer. Because other writers did not put it that way. Look at the way Mark will now put his own. In Mark 16, I'm trying to validate something, please. In Mark 16, verse 15, turn the Bible. Learn something? Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus said unto them what? Go into all the world and what? Preach. Is that Matthew 28:19? Where he said, go and make disciples of every nation, right? Go and teach all nations, right? So he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every nation. Verse 16. He that believes shall be what? Shall be saved? Shall be damned. He that believes and what? And is baptized. Don't skip it now. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And so, we can see the way Mark is putting his own.
In Matthew 28:19, you have taught that what Jesus is saying, that as you're making disciples, what you do to them is baptize them in the name of the Father. Again, don't forget that we've said that the baptism will not have a single word, right? It will not mean water every time. We will see it as we go on. The baptism was used for corpse, right? It was used for dead body. You can baptize a dead body. Something like that. It was used for what else? Fire. It was used for death. Death was called baptism. Hallelujah. And so, baptism will not have a single explanation. Just say, once I see baptism. You remember what? Just like Peter has already, we have said from the beginning, Peter has already distinguished that there will be two kinds. There's one that deals with the washing away of the filth of the flesh. Idotiara. There's another one that is an answer of a good conscience by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so, Mark, look at what Mark is saying. He said, he that believes, going to the word and preach, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Then that says, he that believes not. He didn't mention baptism again. That just says, he that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall now follow those that what? Now, what is consistent? Baptism or believing? Be sincere with yourself. Which is consistent? Baptism or believing? And so that means the believing will actually be the baptism. Listen very well. He says, he that believes and that is and is baptized. Because baptism means to be in union, to be buried with, identification. Is it making sense? When he says in 1 Corinthians 10:2, our fathers were baptized into Moses. 1 Corinthians 10:2. Our fathers were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. There was never a place where they went to the cloud and Moses was putting their head anywhere. When it says they were baptized into Moses, it means they were what? They were identified with Moses. They themselves did that. They said, Moses, go and talk to God. We don't want to talk to God. You talk to God. Whatever God says, come and talk to us. And so the way God identified Israel was in Moses. Is it making sense? The voice of God to Israel was Moses. So they were identified in Moses in the wilderness. So baptism will be identification where it says, he that believes and is baptized is identified with the gospel, right? He that believes and is identified with the message. He that believes and is identified with the Spirit and is one with the Spirit, he says, is saved. Then he that believes not, obviously by not believing, is not baptized. The way you will know what he's saying, verse 17, the signs that will now follow them that believe and are baptized is that they will speak with new tongues. That is not the sign of water baptism. Many people are baptized with water and they have not cast out the devil. The fact that I'm water baptized does not mean I would lay my hands on the sick and they will recover. Right? Right? That would be the sign of being baptized by the Spirit. Because whatever he mentioned were the works of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Tongues, healing, right? Come on, workings of miracles. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. And so, the signs that will follow will be the gifts of the Spirit. That means the baptism was the baptism of the Spirit. They were identified by the message of the gospel. They were now one, baptized in the Spirit. Ephesians 4. One baptism, one Spirit, one Lord. Getting that? And so, when it says, those who believe and are baptized will now be baptism of what? Is it water? Obviously not. Jesus never asked anybody to baptize with what? It is evident from the message. Look at Luke 24. The way Luke will now put his own. In Luke 24, verse 47. In verse 45, then he opened it, they understand it, and they might understand the scriptures. Verse 46, and he said unto them, it is written, does it behove Christ to suffer these things? And to rise from the dead. They told it, verse 47. Now we look at 24, 47 together. And I repent. Once you go. And I repent as a remission of sins. Should be preaching his name among all nations, beginning at what? And you are high witness of these things. I've sent the promise of the Father upon you, and you what? What Jesus promised was the Spirit. What he told them they will receive was the Spirit. I will send it upon you. Never told them about water. He just said, you go and preach. So, from the Great Commission, we are saying two things that are consistent. You will preach, you will get men saved, and what? You'll be identified by the Spirit. Right? You will preach, men will be saved, and the men that are saved will actually be baptized. So you go back to that Matthew 28:19, when it says, teaching all nations and baptizing them. Baptizing them will not be what? Getting them filled. Getting them saved. Hey. We will see it next week. How that the new bath is actually the first baptism. It's actually the primary baptism. What you call the baptism of the Spirit is actually the new bath. When a man is born again, that's what we call baptism of the Spirit. Speaking in tongues is not the baptism of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Learning something? And so, did Jesus ask anybody to baptize with water to get men saved? No. You can't find a single place. John already said it. That I am the one baptizing with water. This one that is coming after me, that is greater than me, what you baptize with is the Spirit. Confirm statement. That thing that form your landmark in teaching the subject matter. Matthew 3:11 is one. He will baptize with the Spirit, which is Acts 1:5. He will baptize with the Spirit. What did he command his disciples to do upon the resurrection? To go and preach and get men baptized, what? In the Spirit. Of course, the signs will not be the signs of the Spirit. Hallelujah. There is something. So, did Paul baptize people with water? Yes. Peter did. Philip did. Why did they do that? We'll see. Hallelujah. We'll see. But look at Paul's disclaimer before you start blaming Paul. And before you run, before you scream blue mud and say, hey, Paul did it, I'm polite. Well, you know, 1 Corinthians 1, as I close. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, another landmark. Verse 14. Let's do verse 14 to 17 together, everybody. Want to go? One go? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but what? Crispus and Gaius. Lest any of you should say, I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I don't know whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. Christ sent me not to baptize. Again, you'll be wrong to just take that word baptize and run with it. Right? Did Paul get people baptized with the Spirit? Eh? Yes. And so the one you will be talking about here will be water. So he said, Christ sent me not to baptize with water, but to preach the gospel. Two kinds of baptism. He writes within that same statement. The preaching of the gospel itself is to get people baptized. It's to get people identified in the Spirit. So he said, Christ sent me not to baptize. He said, thank God I didn't baptize many of you. Paul has a way of presenting his fact. And you will see that. We see in 1 Corinthians how that he now mentioned the whole lot. It's in 1 Corinthians, he will now say, but you are washed. Is that the 1 Corinthians? You are washed. And you are cleansed. Which is actually the product of water baptism. Or what water baptism aims at. But Paul now says, by the Spirit. Hallelujah. He says, Christ said not to baptize, but to preach. So it means that the preaching of the gospel is what saves the man. That takes away, number one, the lie that once a man is sprinkled, you find babies even sprinkled with water, and you assume that baby is now saved because he was sprinkled with water. That would be a lie. What saves the man is to believe the message of the gospel. To believe that Christ died for my sin, and he rose for my justification. Romans 4:25. That he defeated sin and death. And that the victory now is. And that every man who says yes to his name actually is a partaker of what he did. To believe that actually I'm quickened by the Spirit. That's gospel. I now believe that what he said he did for me. Is it making sense? The fact that whether I was sprinkled water or not, I don't know. But I know that every man who believes the message of his sacrifice is saved. Romans chapter 10. You believe in your heart, verse 9-10. You believe in your heart that Christ died for sins, and you confess with your mouth salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9-10. The just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Hebrews 10:37-38. The just shall live by his faithfulness. That means people only come alive. People only get faith when they trust his faithfulness, when they trust his work. What saves a man? When he believes the gospel.
First Corinthians 15, verse 3-4. The gospel, how that Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. He rose the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. He was seen of 500 brethren at once. Hallelujah. Of which some remained on this day, but some are falling asleep. So, the gospel is actually that Christ died. Not just that he died, I believe that he died for me. I believe that my sins are washed in his blood. I believe that his resurrection was for my justification. I believe that in his name I have a hope. I believe that in his name there's a resurrection from the dead. I believe that I will see him one day and will reign in glory. That is the gospel. That is what saves a man. Not water. Not water. Not water. Did Jesus send anybody to baptize? No. With water. His baptism is the spirit, right? Whose baptism is water? Eh? John's baptism. Whose baptism is the spirit? Jesus and Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, a man ought to preach his test wisely. Ought to preach his test wisely. If John baptized with water, not Jesus, I'll close on this. The baptism of water did not precede John. It started with John. The baptism of water did not precede John. The closest would have been that Ezekiel's water. And we have seen that Ezekiel also talking about the spirit. Just like Jesus will now use in his synoptics. In John's synoptics, now use water as the spirit. Except the man be born of water. And the spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. With water and the spirit. But you now discover that right after then, it takes emphasis of water. Then it says, as the spirit, as a wind listeth, he says, nobody knows where it's coming from. So is a man born of the spirit. He takes emphasis of the water immediately, and he starts talking about the spirit. Again, he told the woman by the well in John chapter 4. He says, if you know he that talks to you, you will beg him to give you water. Hallelujah. And he will never thirst again. In John chapter 7, the Bible says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. The Bible says, this is spoke of the Spirit. Is it making sense? John chapter 7, verse 38 to 39. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. That water, before you get up in your belly, he's speaking of the Spirit. And so, many times water was used allegorically for the Spirit. For the Spirit. For the Spirit. It is impermissible to say that a man is saved just by the gospel. You can't change that. It's impermissible. What saves a man is the gospel. Nothing changes that. Today, tomorrow, forever. Water does not save a man. What saves a man is the Spirit of God. Is the Spirit of God. Once you just know that, then we can now start our journey in investigating the two kinds of baptism. Hallelujah. Jesus brought the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Obviously, baptism of water was to point to something. But we see that. But to be baptized in water does not make you offend God. If you have been baptized with another thing that you have seen. Some of you, someone like Daniel. I'm very sure you have been baptized. Like three times. Yeah? Just three times. I was baptized once. They asked me for what would be the name. I said, Enoch. I didn't want to die. Hallelujah. I didn't want to die. That's what I can imagine. I want to say Elijah. Enoch, it's James, we don't even know anything about him. Enoch, Pastor, he had the way to add it to that. God save Enoch. Hallelujah. I've been baptized in water. Twice. L.A. Ibadan. There's a river there. And somewhere around South Town. And so if I don't baptize with that, I don't feel somehow. If I baptize with that, I don't think you have offended God. There's sins on your head. The bottleneck will be when you start to attribute a physical washing away of the filth of the flesh to the cleansing of the heart. both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, what will achieve a man's heart is not what comes on his body. What cleanses a man's heart is the Spirit of God. Again, if you are not baptized in water, it doesn't take anything off your faith. In Christ today, do we have two kinds of baptism? I don't think so. But in the mouth of men, there are two kinds of baptism. We'll find it as we start. Don't just pray, sir. Yes, the Lord.